Welcome to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast, where we interview people who recently purchased their dream home in Spain. They tell us what worked, what didn't, and what they'd do differently next time. I'm Beth Davison, and today I'm speaking with Alma, originally from London. She purchased her dream home in Spain in Hacienda del Alamo, in Murcia. Having previously owned property in Malta, Alma has experience of buying abroad and gives a great insight into the similarities and differences of the Spanish process. Looking for somewhere warm to spend the winter and in need of a property with good accessibility, Alma worked with estate agent Spanish property expert to find her dream home in Spain. Check out the show notes at quiero.com/podcast to find links and resources mentioned in this episode.
My name is Alma Friss. What I actually do is I'm a housewife at the moment because I have a husband that has been diagnosed with an illness. We have now bought a property, a two-bedroom apartment in Spain.
And at what point did you complete on that property? How recent are we talking?
We're talking about 3 months.
Wow, yeah, so really, really recent. And was the diagnosis, did that happen during that time or afterwards? I'm so sorry to hear that.
The diagnosis it's been 2 years now.
Right, okay, so you went through this process together. And how was the process for you?
We found it quite easy, actually. It was pretty good. You select who you're actually going to go with and you actually make arrangements to meet them and they meet you and then they help you through the process of actually trying to sort of select what it is that you're actually looking for once you go to achieve whatever it is that you're looking for in Spain.
I love that you sound slightly surprised that it was easy.
I know, but the thing is that you hear some horror stories.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we were just quite lucky who we chose, was that he was very nice. He was really nice.
How much did you know about the process anyway? Had you bought property before? Had you bought property in Spain before?
No, this was our first time. In actual fact, we was living in Malta. So we had to relocate back from Malta to the UK. And once we got settled and everything, my husband was settled in what he was diagnosed with and he was reasonably okay. Mm. We decided we missed the sunshine so much that we thought, this is it now. Since we can't really leave the UK, why don't we have a holiday place that we can go off to and do it in Spain instead? That way it wasn't that far away.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I think the weather is a really big factor for so many people. Did that mean you specifically knew the area of Spain you wanted to be in, or how wide was your search?
Actually, we did our research and we actually liked the area in Murcia. We liked that area because it seemed a little bit more open, more spacious that you could do. You could go to the coast, you could have the mountain scenes. And you could do golfing if you were into golfing. So that was the reason why we ended up there.
And I sense, is one of you into golfing?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So it goes either way. You know, some people are very keen or not. And talk to me about the property itself. How many kind of bedrooms were you thinking?
Well, what was the closing factor on this property that we chose? We didn't really want it on a golf course. But the thing was, it actually had the two things that I wanted, was the space in the apartment, and it actually had the two toilets, funny enough, because we've got big family, and if we have them over, we want more than just one toilet.
Yeah, totally.
So it had two toilets as property, so I'm afraid that was a clincher.
No, that's fine. I think everyone has their criteria, and when you get that met, it's such a good feeling. Did you know as soon as you walked in that this was the place?
Yes, because how you approach this property is you actually go through some doors and it brings you out into sort of like a courtyard, which is very pretty. And then you go through your door and then you've got, you know, your little apartment, and it actually is quite sweet. So that's what drawed me to it. It just had a nice approach to it and it had all the requirements that we wanted. So that was it, really.
And then when you walk through the door of this place, what's it like? How does it feel? Paint me a picture.
Well, unfortunately, it's unfurnished.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was bank possessed, and that was something else we wasn't planning to go for. But it just had what we wanted. And so we ended up going through that process and being successful. So, yeah.
And when you hear a phrase like bank possessed, that immediately fills me with fear.
It did me. It did us. But we looked around and sort of concluded when we looked around other properties that actually it wasn't really that bad. And the lady assured us that, you know, it probably takes a little bit longer and they go through quite a lot of formalities, you know, to try and get your details and make sure everything is kosher. So we weren't really worried about that, really. So it does take a little while, but in the end, it was worth it.
And who was it holding your hand through that? Who was it giving you that kind of guidance and advice?
We went through our estate agent named Daniel. He showed us a good solicitor that we could go through. And so that's who we went through. And they were really good. They were really patient. So it worked out. So that's all I can really say. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's that level of trust that you need. I think it's that level of kind of understanding, transparency, knowing who you can come to for help, because it's a big undertaking.
Exactly. And I have to admit, the solicitors have been really, really good. They've really updated us on a lot of things and kept in touch. And so therefore, that's why I think that worked really well.
And so when the keys are yours and you know that it's unfurnished, what's the first thing that you do? Where did you head? How did you furnish it?
Well, to be truthful, we're still in the process of doing that. And the thing is that we're still in touch with Daniel. So basically, we're going to organise another date that we can go over, and he is actually going to meet us and help us go through the process.
Amazing.
So we are actually going to, I have briefly looked online at a few packages, but I'm not too sure whether I'll go down that route. When we go over, we'll see. We'll make the decisions then.
And when you say packages, that's kind of an all-in-one deal. You buy a kitchen and they fit it, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I've still yet to, I'm not really convinced, but I'll still need to look into it.
Totally. No, it's a big undertaking. How are your interior design skills?
That's the thing. I'm quite fussy. So I'm quite good at putting a house together. And that's the frustrating thing. Do I allow it to go to somebody else that can do it? Or do I just rely on my own skills and just go for what I know? But basically, you need feet on the ground to go around and have a look at what it is and keep within budget.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah. I think you should do it yourself, but I'm not the one doing it.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea of what you like? What's your taste?
I know what I'm looking for, so that's why I feel it's a little bit when I've looked at the packages, I'm thinking they've not really got what I'm really looking for. So therefore, I think I may go rogue and do it myself.
Yeah. What kind of thing are you
thinking? Which is going to be a lot of hard work. Basically, I like contemporary, but it's got to fit within the colour schemes that we've got of the apartment. So, yeah, that's what I've got to work with.
And Spanish colour schemes can be quite bright, I suppose.
Yeah, they are. They are very bright. And then they're also very beigey. And this apartment we've got is dark colours, which is not something that I normally would go for, but I've got to find something that works within the surroundings that I've got.
Yeah, lovely. It'll be really exciting, I think, when you get to kind of build it
I'm
from
excited.
Scratch. Yeah.
But you've got a husband that's going, oh, we can't afford it. And I'm going, look, don't worry.
Which does bring don't me worry. Nicely on to budget. Did you have a figure in mind? Did you manage to stick to it? How did that work out for you guys?
We had to stick to a budget because being that we had relocated from Malta, it made the funds because we had to come back and buy a house again here because once we had left the UK, we had sold up everything. So this was a bit unpredictable that we had to come back. So we had to buy a house here again. And so we had a little bit of a budget that we had to stick to have a summer place in Spain.
Mm, yeah.
So we and stuck to it.
Did you find that in comparison, what kind of size were you getting for your money? Did it feel like good value or did it feel the same as the UK or very different?
I would say it's different. I would say you get your value, but it all depends on what it is that you're looking for. Basically, I found as we moved towards inland, you got more space for your money. Whereas if you were going on the coast, you had less, I think, for your money.
Yeah. And therefore, it was just about priorities for you, was it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, because basically what we were doing was buying for ourselves, but we also had to think about our family. We have an elderly mother-in-law, so could she manage stairs? So basically we've got a ground floor apartment, so we had to think about things like that. Then we also got grandchildren. So, yeah, that was the reason why we ended up with that apartment.
And how are you planning on using it? So you said, obviously, you'll use it as a holiday house. You'll let it to family. Yeah. How much time do you envisage spending out there? How's it going to work?
We're hoping to go when it's the winter months over here and we go over in the winter months in Spain to just have, it will be like our summer for us. So, yeah, we're planning to use it like that. But we are thinking about renting that out for the very first year just to help out at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the very first year, and then after that, it is a long term that we would like to move out to Spain
and live there full time.
Yeah.
Lovely. And will it be, was it Daniel you mentioned was your agent, would he help you
with
the renting side of things as well? Is that your plan?
Yes, that's what we're going to do.
It's great that they stay in touch with you after kind of the point of completion, because
he was really nice. He was the one that actually helped us, because he lives there. He actually was the one that sort of like ended up coming like a friend, to be honest. It was really good. He's a very nice chap.
Fantastic. And how is a kind of, you mentioned it's the weather that takes you out there, but how does a normal day look for you guys in Spain? What are the other reasons that you love life over there?
Because we like it multicultural. So that's what I miss. When I'm abroad, I like the social side of it. I like how different nationalities gather together. And we're like that at home anyway. We are a multicultural family. So I kind of like that. I like mixing with other nationalities and being friends with other nationalities. That's how it is with us. So that's what I like. And that's what I like Spain for. It's the different cultures, the different the family atmosphere that you get with them, because Spain is very family orientated, and that's what we like.
And I guess your plan then will be befriending neighbours and befriending people in the local area.
Yes, and people our age, going for walks a lot because we like walking. So actually being out in the outskirts, not far from the sea where we're going to be, and not far from walking out to other areas. And that's the sort of thing. And my husband's a cyclist. He likes being outdoors. So that's the sort of thing we're looking for.
Amazing. Well, it's so great that you found it. And it sounds it wasn't too much of a kind of ordeal for you.
No, it wasn't actually. It was pretty smooth, really, on the grand scale of things. When you think we've relocated to Malta and back, this was quite easy for us.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done it all. If you were giving advice to someone, what would you say? Is there anything you definitely would do again, or anything you definitely wouldn't do if you were going to do it again?
Actually, I'm quite happy with the way we did things. The only thing I would say to people is they need to do their research.
And in what way do you mean that? Do you mean starting online, or do you mean do your research once you're there on the ground?
I would say start online, but you definitely need to go and see the properties. It's no good just looking online, because it doesn't give you the true reality of how some of the properties actually sit within the land of itself. So to me is that you need to go over, and you need to actually do your research on your agents as well to find out whether they what rating they have. Are they really good before you actually, you know, end up in Spain and having no idea? You need to have some idea of what it is you're looking for and who you really feel that you can put your trust in.
Yeah. Did you do that again? Was that via online, the ratings of agents? Is that how you found out?
I did that. Yes, I did that. Yeah.
I think that's really sensible. I think that's everything that you would do if you were going to do it in the UK.
Yes, it is exactly. You can't. I mean, we're all sort of overwhelmed when you go on to these places, because they are so lovely, But the thing is, you've got to have your head on your shoulders when you're about to let go that quite a lot of money to another, you know, another location, another country. You need to have your head screwed on. Mm. So,
no, I think that's
because
really good
we'd already been to Malta. Yeah, and I think because we'd already done it in Malta, we did our research and we relocated over there. We worked over there, so we knew what we were doing. So when I did my research again for Spain, we basically had everything covered.
And did you feel like the houses, seeing them in person, did it very much change what the pictures were like online? Did it change your attitudes towards it?
Oh, yes.
Really? That's so interesting.
Oh, yes.
In what way?
Oh, yes. There was one particular house. I forget whereabouts it was. And when we did actually saw it, it was a lovely house. But the area that was in, I would have never have guessed.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, that's why I said you have to do your homework. And once you get down on the ground, see where it is that these houses are actually sitting in, the location, whether you're going to like it or not. Oh, yes. I was very surprised.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, that's great. I think that's really, really good advice. And so you're in the UK right now?
Yes.
And when are you next heading
back
over
there? So we're going to be hopefully over in July to do all the running around and furnishing the actual apartment out.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great adventure. And I hope it keeps going really well. I'm so pleased that it's gone well for you so far.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you for being on the podcast.
Pleased.
It was lovely to chat to you.
I know, that's, you're more than welcome. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Elma. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, Ben. You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening. And thanks to Alma for sharing her experiences and to Spanish Property Expert for making this episode possible. I hope that Alma takes the plunge and does some of the interior design herself. It sounds like a really lovely way of making a new house feel like home. And if you like what you've heard, you can search this agent's properties and more on Quiero.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This podcast is produced by Quiero.com. Our mission is to connect you with estate agents and properties throughout Spain. Whether your dream home is a rustic farmhouse surrounded by olive groves or a lock-up and leave apartment on the seafront, you'll find everything you need at Quiero.com. We love hearing how these podcast episodes have helped you find your dream home in Spain. Please do continue to share your feedback with us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate you taking the time to review and rate our podcast on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. Your feedback, reviews, and ratings help us reach and connect more people with their dream home in Spain. And when you're ready, here are four ways we can help you. Ask a question by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll try and answer them all in an upcoming Q&A episode. Get a location guide by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll reply with the latest data and information on the areas you're interested in. Calculate your budget. Simply visit quiero.com/budget, enter two numbers, and you're done. Be our guest. If you've already purchased your home in Spain, we would love for you to share your story on the podcast. Just email beth@quiero.com and we'll take it from there. Tune in next time when I speak with Peter from Belfast, who worked with estate agent Liv Medcoast. With two daughters who speak Spanish fluently, this purchase seemed like a logical move for Peter and his family. Find out how he and his wife got on after selling their property in Dubai and finding a new dream home in Spain. I'm Beth Davison, and you've been listening to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast. I'll see you next time.